Sometimes you're just uncomfortable at a party, especially if you don't really know anybody. I know I was someone who's always just kind of sat in the corner, very much a wallflower. I know, and now I talk for a living. Anyway, what happens when you find that friendly person to talk to? You get in a great conversation, and then you find out, oh, there was no one sitting there next to you that you were talking to, according to all the other people at the party. That's a little awkward, wouldn't you say? Well, that happens in a recent episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear that story and more, sign up to be an EPP Extra Podcast Person on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Extra Podcast people help support our show, keep us on the air, and they get bonus content. More than 60 bonus episodes of the show, exclusive video content, and more. Thanks in advance for being an EPP. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Welcome to Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, flying can be rather frightening to some, but one flight scares in a very different way. An abandoned train station has many stories to tell. That sounds fun. And a listener shares his ghostly tales from his time working in a nursing facility. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I've just learned that I was just trying to take a sip out of this bottle over here, and my mustache and my beard and my facial hair, it's now protruding enough from my face where it kind of pushes the bottle away. It's kind of odd.
That is a real hipster problem. Right,
I've
there.
Never had a mustache where that is an issue, where I could see like. You have to be very strategic with where you put the bottle. So, or I could just shave. One of the two. One of the two will work. I'm so not used to having facial hair. I can't wait for my little razor thing to get in the mail because it'll... I'm doing the beard thing right now, and I'm kind of getting used to it. You said you like it.
I like it.
But it's an uneven beard right now. You know, it's come out, and it's just, you know, kind of... It's very full, but it's uneven once it gets to a certain length.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to get something where I can kind of even the flow out a little bit so it doesn't look so like, oh, you gave up. You completely have just given up, haven't you? Then you just kind of go, yeah. And when I drink things out of bottles, it protrudes from my face. That would not be a good reaction.
No.
People would look at you like, oh, that's special. So anyhow, let's move on to some ghost stories.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We will kick off the show today with a letter, and it comes into us from Angela. Angela writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. Wanted to write in and share an experience that I had recently on a ghost tour of the Central Terminal in Buffalo, New York. It's not really scary, just a cool experience I wanted to share. Also, Ghost Hunters did an episode there a long time ago if anyone's interested in checking it out. First, I'd like to give you guys some background information as it may help you understand why this place is so active. The Central Terminal was a Grand train station built in the late 1920s. It's apparently bigger than Grand Central Terminal in New York City, but not as ornate. Men would be shipped off to war from the terminal. It was also the place where your loved one's body was sent back when they were killed in action during war. As you could imagine, this place has seen a lot of different emotions. At some point, the terminal was abandoned in the late 1970s, and a man by the name of Anthony Fidel purchased it and moved into an apartment he built in the terminal with his dog. Fidel was trying to avoid paying property taxes as the terminal was not considered a personal residence. Eventually, he was taxed and had to declare bankruptcy as he could not afford to pay the taxes. Some say that Fidel's dog is still in the terminal because they have a picture of an apparition of a dog in the hallway of the terminal. Moving on to my experience while at the terminal, the tour bus took us to the active spots in the building, such as the waiting room, the ticket counter, and upstairs, where a little boy named Zachary likes to move around toys given to him by paranormal investigators. The tour guide shared the EVP of Zachary, saying his name in a sing-song child voice. My experience happened in the Hall of Shadows, as they called it on the tour. We were asked to turn off our flashlights and stare down what seemed to be a never-ending hallway. The tour guide stated, as your eye adjusts, you'll start to see shadows walking left to right. You may think it's your eyes playing tricks on you, but it is real. They also encouraged us to take pictures to see if we could capture any of these shadow people on the camera. Well, I sure did see shadows walking down the hallway. It was almost unreal. I started to tell myself, no way are you seeing this. I snapped a picture. It captured two shadow people walking from left to right in the background. I also see a man's face wearing glasses in the second window on the right. One thing that I did not like was one of the tour guides started to provoke the shadow people, saying, hey guys, why don't you come out and say hi? I saw a black mass rush toward the group. It scared me so. I had to step away from the hall. But all in all, it was a very good tour and a very active place as it is currently being restored. Tony and Jenny, if you're ever in Buffalo, you have to check out the great old building we have.
That is cool. I had no idea there was a station that size up there.
That's sure. Neat. It's interesting. There's so many of those old, you know, Grand Central-esque terminals all over the country, and some have been restored, some are being used for things, and some simply sit and rot because we never got our human train transportation system to continue, essentially, after a certain point. We just kind of gave up on it.
Or it's very limited.
Yeah, or extremely limited, yeah. I mean, so, I mean, it's sad. You know, I mean, so many other countries have very, you know, established, very efficient rail transport, and that's something we currently lack horribly in this country. But it's interesting because those buildings are huge, you know, stable environments, you know, just rock and granite. And when they were building these things, I'm sure the people who built them were envisioning these things to be used well into the future, like past our future now. And unfortunately, so many of them just sit there and rot because it became to the point where there was no use for them.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, it's creepy because you think about all the things that did go through them. Exactly like they describe, people going off to wars, people coming back from war, alive and dead. You know, you think of that with airports a lot today, but, you know, some of the, you know, this was, you know, even earlier than that, you know, with a lot of rail getting people to an airport or to a base or something of that nature. So many things went through those places. The one I can think of is Kansas City has restored theirs pretty well.
Yeah.
There's no active trains there anymore, correct? That are actually people transport. I could be wrong, but I don't believe there is.
I'm not positive on that.
I know it's like half like museum, half restaurants, half shopping. There may be, but its primary use is no longer a train station.
I don't know if Amtrak goes through there, because I think Amtrak does go through Kansas City.
It does. I don't know if that's their station or not. It could be, but it's there's so many halls that are no longer train terminals.
Sure.
So that's a really neat thing to see and experience. I shouldn't recommend this by any means because you can't do it legally. But go online. I'll say that. I was going to say, go check this out. Don't physically go check this out, but go online and check this out. If you want to see real creepy haunted terminals or the very haunted looking Grand Central Station that is not restored, that's sitting there rotting, check out Detroit's. That is an amazing building, extremely ornate. People have broken into it many times, and there's plenty of video and photography on the web, and you just feel the creepiness of it by looking at it and all the energy that's gone through there.
Yeah.
But very interesting story there. Can you imagine just looking down, like, you think that's really shadow people at the end of the hall that are that active that the tour guides can say that, or do you think that there's something else that's going on down that hall that the tour guides are like, oh, this will freak people out?
I don't know. I think it's unfortunate that the tour guides that they have there are the kind that don't know to not provoke the spirits.
Yeah, I don't like that part.
No.
I just wonder how many of the shadows that they're seeing down that hall are true shadow people and not just some sort of light anomaly that's
I fully believe the one that rushed the group is definitely a real one.
I agree there. I'm just wondering if the ones that are like way down, you know. Interesting story. Damn it, I need that bell.
Hey, are you going to take a drink or you want me to take a drink?
Go right ahead.
Okay, I will.
Actually, I should. Shouldn't I? Because I'm the one who said it. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to our next story. It's from Denny. Hi, Tony and Jenny. We had a wonderful Halloween. My name's Denny. I'm from Granite City, Illinois, 20 minutes outside of St. Louis. So if you're ever in the area, hit me up. I'd love to show you some of the popular haunted locations, such as the Old Spanish Cemetery or the infamous Lemp Mansion. I always had a fascination with the paranormal, but my first real encounter happened back in 2006 when I was 15 years old. My grandma and I were very close, and her death was the first death I had to truly deal with. I was pretty distraught about the whole ordeal, but I knew it was her time to go. Leading up to her death, she was in the hospital for 5 months due to sicknesses and problems. It wasn't until April when my family and I started to see some changes. First off, she kept saying she was seeing her own mother and other past family members. She'd also go into this childlike state as if she was reliving past memories. I knew instantly this was a sign that death was close. The other thing I found peculiar was that she kept asking my mom what the date was. Every day we'd visit, she'd ask the question. She finally ended up passing on April 19th, my grandpa's birthday. And I'm just like Jenny. I do not believe in coincidences. I believe she purposefully waited for April 19th so she could be my grandpa's birthday gift. It's sad but joyful at the same time. Now, my grandma liked to joke around. She always said she would haunt us after she died, and I believe she kept to her word. During the week of the funeral and preparations, the basement lights in my house kept coming on. My grandma lived with us, by the way. In addition to the lights, we would hear some loud banging noises throughout the house. At the church I was held at, the electricity went out at least twice. I believe this is her way of saying she was there. Fast forward a couple of weeks later, I was messing around on the computer when I had the sudden urge to look across the hall into the bathroom. Standing by the laundry hamper, I saw a shadow, and it seemed to be looking at me. Now, this should have freaked the hell out of me, but it didn't. On the other hand, I felt a sense of calm and peace. I instantly knew it was Grandma. I just stared at the shadow for a couple of seconds, then it was gone. Later that evening, I decided to get my camera and take some pictures throughout the house. I wanted to see if I'd catch any orbs or perhaps a full-fledged apparition. Yes, at 15 years old, I know how this ghost hunting game works. Haha. When I downloaded the pics and looked through them, there was a couple of orbs here and there, but the jackpot photo was the one I took of my grandma's mirror in her room. I saw the same outline of a shadow I saw in the bathroom, but in the right-hand corner, there's an outline of an angel, as if it was perched on my grandma's shoulder. My mom saw the same thing, so I know I wasn't going crazy. I guess you can say this was her way of letting us know that she's in a better place and that she'll always be watching us. I don't have the photo on hand at the moment, but I'll gladly send it in if I come across it anytime soon. Thanks for reading my story. I hope it wasn't too long. I'll definitely write it again with some more stories. I have plenty of them. Thank you again, and take care.
I really do think there's more to it than just the mind failing as you're nearing death.
Sure.
As far as seeing people that you've loved and lost.
It's interesting because sometimes we've had stories of pieces of information coming through that no one else really could have known that did turn out to be accurate. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Unfortunately, there's scientific medical proof that there can be hallucinations there as well. And then there's also plenty of stories where other things are going on. It's how do you decipher which is which? That's the problem I think we run against more than anything. It's not that anyway that I don't believe that people are indeed at times seeing other loved ones or ghosts, if you will. It's that how do you decipher between what is what?
I think it's just like sleep paralysis where it's a combination of medical and paranormal.
Sure. Sure. It's I'm not going to use the word.
You were about to.
It is. But it is. It is very. It's one of those. It's very intriguing.
Oh, wow.
It's a very intriguing subject. I'm going to get a piece of paper here that has all of the other words I can use instead of instead. And then I'm just going to start going to them. A thesaurus would be a good outlet for finding those words.
Yeah.
But it is, it's something that's always really kind of intrigued me, because my grandpa was going through that at the end. He was saying, and some of it made sense. It really did. And some of it was completely illogical. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in some cases you can tell what's probably illogical and what's not. But in other cases you can't. So it'd be great if there was a way to decipher.
Sure.
To kind of identify that a little bit better. But unfortunately, there's not. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Mike from New Zealand. I've written a few letters, which you've played. But this is my first time calling in, or my first time on the air. Technically, I'm recording this on a computer and emailing it to Tony, because that's how I'm cheating the system. Woo, fight the man. I just thought I would ring in, and I'm going to keep using the word ring for easy reference. I thought I'd ring in and tell you a couple of stories from when I worked at a retirement home. When I started working at this retirement home, I was about 16, and I worked there for 3 years, and it's still to this day one of the best jobs that I've ever had. I fell in love with most of the residents there, and it was a huge part of my day. Where I worked was the hospital, which was technically really a hospice. Although I didn't work in the dementia unit, which was a separate unit, I did have a lot of dementia patients in the hospice. Although it was really difficult, it was hugely rewarding, and I made a lot of friends with the residents. And it's that old joke that people with Alzheimer's make new friends every day. So the first story I wanted to tell you about was a gentleman called Henry, obviously not his actual name, and he had quite bad dementia. And he, obviously I sound quite effeminate, and I used to have quite long hair. And so he would often mistake me for his wife, Margaret. And it became an ongoing joke in the retirement home that all my co-workers would call me Margaret. And it was just an ongoing joke, because obviously his eyesight was bad and dementia. Quite often I would, I was basically a glorified tea boy, among other things. And there was a time, I used to have to bend down under the sink, because they all had little sinks in their room. And a lot of times when I did this, he would grope my bum, and I'd turn around and he'd say something along the lines of, "Oh, I hope you don't mind me being too forward, Margaret." And it was always sort of, I was Margaret in different stages of their courtship, which was very interesting. I came in one day and found that he had passed away in the night. And I was in his room. I was cleaning, just dusting everything down. His body had been removed. And as I bent down to clean under the sink, I just feel this hand on my bum. And it was a definite, it wasn't just like something had brushed my bum, it was a palm grope. And there was no one else in the room. I was the only one in the room. And it scared the hell out of me. And I turned around and I just said, "Henry, that's not okay." And it was funny and also absolutely terrifying. Another story is there was this wonderful woman who became one of my best friends. She was in her 90s. And although she was in the hospice, she didn't have dementia. She was clear as a bell. and she always seemed perfectly healthy. She wasn't. She was very much on her way out, but she just seemed like one of the healthiest, heartiest ladies. And I was dating a boy who worked in the kitchen at the time, and she found out about this through the grapevine, and she pulled me aside one day and just, she told me a lot of, she said something along the lines, I can't remember the exact quote, something along the lines of, when I was younger, my friends all used to call me Judy because I had a lot of homosexual friends, and so they all thought I was Judy Garland. And that level of acceptance of homosexuality isn't obviously huge in that generation. So it was a really lovely moment. And I used to, after that day, I started calling her Lady J. And it just became a part of the ritual. I walk in, Lady J, sing some Judy for me. And she passed very, very suddenly. It was very unexpected. She was there one day and she was just gone the next. And I walked in doing the last dust down of her room. And I just looked up and just, I'd poured a lot of hot water on the sink, so the mirror above it had fogged up. And in the fog of the mirror, there was just the letter J. And I'm pretty sure that was just Lady J saying her final farewell. And the last story is a lady called, I'm just looking at my bookshelf and I'm going to pick a name, Joan. I looked at a Joan Rivers book, so there we go, her name is Joan. Joan was heavily in dementia. I had never witnessed her have a clear day at all. She was very deep in the fog of her mind. And every day her husband, Derek, would come and visit. And as soon as he'd leave, he'd stay for 2 or 3 hours, and as soon as he'd leave, maybe half an hour later, she'd start screaming out, "Where's my husband?" And every day, that was it. "Where's my husband?" If he wasn't there, she would shout that down the halls. She didn't even remember his name, but she would just remember that she had a husband. And she died after that was a very expected death. It was very drawn out. But that's not what I'm telling you about. Anyway, he died. Her husband died. And I walked in, and she hadn't been calling out for her husband at all that day. And I walked in to see her, and I just was chatting to her. "Hey, Joan, how's your day going?" Cleaning the things and getting her tea. And she looked at me, and she said, "You don't have to worry. He's here all the time." And I said, "Who is?" And she says, "My husband. He's always here now. He doesn't leave." And I would walk past the halls and I would just hear her chatting away to him. And it just seemed like he was always there after he died. And she didn't remember his name. It wasn't a clear, wasn't having a lucid moment. It was just he was there. And so that was really nice that she managed to see him all the time. Those are my 3 stories from working in a retirement home. I do have a couple of more stories about other things, and I'll probably send those in at some point. I just wanted to thank Tony and Jenny for this beautiful radio show that you've created. It's gone beyond a radio show, and it's now like an actual community full of these people from all over the world. And I just hope you guys are really you really know the level of success that you've reached and the amount of people that you reach every day. It's a really cool thing. I love you guys a lot. Thanks, bye.
Hey, Mike, thank you for taking the time to get us that story. He really did go above and beyond, because I guess the 800 number doesn't work so well in New Zealand.
Okay.
Somehow it works in the UK from time to time. I haven't quite figured that one out, if people are just paying like some sort of rate to get in to use it or what. Because we have gotten calls from the UK before, and then I have people from the UK saying that doesn't work. So I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know. I just know somehow stories get to us.
Well, I know that one listener is going to have some very upset parents when they realize that they're... 9-year-old, I believe he is, from Melbourne, called and left a 10-minute message. And it was only usable about 3 minutes of it, but being that he's 9, I didn't want to air it.
Sure.
And then he just didn't hang up.
He just kept...
It just went on and on and on, and it was like, oh, you're going to lose allowance for like 3 years.
You mean like, was he still talking, or like he just didn't put the phone
he
up?
He just didn't hang up the phone. Geez. Yeah.
What is this?
Poor kid.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Was it kind of a 9-year-old story, or was it?
It was. It was okay. Just like, this one time my friend saw something at the end of her hall, you know.
Yeah.
You know how little kids are. It's
sure.
It's like an Olivia story.
Sure. And when he's about 18, he can tell it probably a lot more articulately.
I will be very happy to air that call then, because
yes.
I want to know what happened, how much trouble he was in.
Exactly. And we're like, so 9 years ago, I was grounded for a year because I called your show. So here's the story again. Wow. And that was a very interesting story from our friend in New Zealand.
Yeah,
so.
I like that. I like I hate to say end of life stories like that, mm-hmm. but the ones, you know, that kind of, I don't know, they kind of give me a positive feeling about getting old.
A warm and, fuzzy?
I guess. And, you know, and knowing that even though the end is near, it's really not the end.
Yeah, you can feel warm and fuzzy about the stories, and especially if you're wearing a Snuggie.
God, I haven't seen a Snuggie advertised in a long time.
Eventually, that's all I'm going to wear.
Okay.
At some point in my life, I was like, I'm done. I'm wearing a Snuggie.
You know, you grow your beard long enough and you wear a Snuggie. I'm going to start to worry.
And I'm going to put ornaments in my beard, because I saw that today on Facebook. This is literally something someone is selling. It's not like, oh, some, you know, buddy made this up. It's kind of silly and funny. It's a product. It's ornament bulbs, you know, like the colored bulbs for a Christmas tree. Typically, they used to be glass. Now they're all plastic. Yeah. They're little tiny. I mean, it's like what you put on a mini Christmas tree.
Uh-huh.
Literally for a large beard to decorate. Somebody's marketing this.
Can't you just do those little mini bulbs and some bobby pins?
Fa la 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 la. I don't know. I mean, I suppose if you go to like the craft store, you could find them. But this is all, it's like a kit. It's good to go. You know.
Instead of an ugly sweater, it's an ugly beard contest.
Somebody, here's another genius idea.
Oh boy.
You ready for this one?
No.
Another business idea. Here we go. Now, you know how everybody has, and we're going to look back at this point in time and go, remember when like everybody had like a box for something, like a box, like pay so much, they send you a box of clothes, pay so much, they send you a box of nutritious snacks,
sure,
you
sure.
know, insert box of shit here.
Okay.
You know, essentially somebody should come up with this box of shit. This box, I should make a product called Box of Shit, and I'm just sending people random shit I find at like Big Lots. It's
okay.
Like, which I'm sure somebody does that and makes it into something else. They should do something where every month you get a new beard decoration for the big beard craze that's going on at this point in our time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, there's the beard oils and all that, and that makes sense. That's
and
like
that's good stuff.
That's like aesthetic, and it's for, you know. That makes sense. It's like in line with any other hair care product. But what should be done is beard decorations. So every month you get a new kit. So holidays, here you go. You get the Christmas bulbs to hang in there. You know, as we move into other seasons, I don't know, Halloween, you could do a little graveyard in there. It's little like, it's beard miniatures, I think, that you could put in there to liven up the season and bring joy with your facial hair.
You would wake up with a significantly shortened beard. Yeah, that's just not going to do.
You would shave the beard off of me?
I would cut it to where you had to shave it off.
Beard in a box. That's what you call it. Beard in a box, and then it's great things for your beard. But it's decorations. It's not oils. It's Easter eggs.
Okay.
You do like 4th of July stuff. You can have sparklers.
That's a good idea.
That might not work out so well. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And hey, if you like the show, please consider supporting it, becoming an EPP. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. It's better than getting a box of shit to put in your beard every month. Guaranteed. All right, that's the EPP guarantee. Yes, hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I am a new listener. I started listening over the month of October, but I love it. And as you'll soon hear, Halloween is one of my favorite holidays. It is my favorite holiday. So I am totally on board with keeping going all year long. So I'm going to be a continued listener. But I have a story to tell you, and I'm not going to tell you my real name or where I'm living, because this story involves a flight that my husband and I took on Halloween, and we belong to a flight club, and if any of them heard the story, they would never let me hear the end of it. They would make fun of me so much. They would break me over the coals. And so I'm gonna stay anonymous, but you can, let's call me Sally. And I'll say that I am calling from the Northeast United States. So here's what happened. My husband is a pilot. He's a private pilot, which is like, it's not the same thing as your pilots of, you know, your big Boeing aircraft that take you all across the country. It's just, he can fly passengers, but can't take any monetary compensation. It's kind of just like being a pilot for pleasure. And I am a student pilot. I'm studying for my private pilot certification. And so on Halloween, which was just 2 days ago, I've been sitting on this story for 2 days and kind of mulling over it, and I decided, yep, I need to call. I need to tell somebody about this. But I was kind of totally depressed because Halloween is my favorite holiday. I love it so much. I love everything spooky and macabre, and I love the costumes. I love the decorations. I don't really love the candy. I've never had a sweet tooth, but I love Halloween. And I've had such a just hard October, just busy and hard month, that I didn't get any decorations up. I had no costume. I was just feeling super depressed about it. And I was like, I don't think I can face the trick-or-treaters. Like, I just want to leave the house and leave a bowl of candy outside. And so my husband said, oh, let's just go on a flight, because all the planes at the flight club were free because everybody else was, you know, taking their kids trick-or-treating or going to Halloween parties or whatever. So we go to the hangar. We get the Cessna 172. And as we're doing the pre-flight check, where you... I'm assuming that most of the listeners aren't pilots, because not that many people are these days, but, you know, you go around, check the plane and everything. As we're doing that, I crack this joke. I'm like, this is like the start of a ghost story. You know, a young, attractive couple with their whole lives ahead of them decide to go on a flight on Halloween. And we laugh and stuff, and then we get in the plane, we take off. It's a great night for it, because it's in the 40s, and flying is great when it's colder. The air is denser, you have a lot of maneuverability. It was a beautiful night, it was overcast, but way up high. So we didn't, you know, there were no clouds where we were at. There was some wind on the ground, but up at like 3,000 feet, it was totally calm, totally smooth, great. And so we're flying along for a while, and, you know, just nice flight. While we're up there, I make this joke because Halloween, I was like, I feel like we're totally going to see a ghost plane. You know, like people see ghost ships. I was like, we're totally going to see a ghost plane. And then a couple minutes later, this weird thing happened. I started getting this like weird sound through my headphones. At first I thought it was static, which, you know, can happen sometimes. But it just sounded strange. And we were still on the frequency of our home airport. And a lot of airports use the same frequency. There's several in the area on the same frequency. So that happens sometimes, that you hear stuff from other airports, and sometimes the sound quality is really poor. But it's always pretty loud, and when the sound quality is poor, it's just very, like, staticky and garbled, you know. But this was just, like, really soft and low. So I turned up the volume on my headphone, and then I realized that it sounds like, you know, like I can hear a voice, and it sounded like a male voice, but I couldn't really make out much of what he was saying, because it was still, even with my headphone volume turned all the way up, it was still really soft, and very staticky, and it kept breaking in and out. But I could hear this voice, and it sounded, at first it sounded just like talking, and then it sounded more and more panicked. And this was probably only about over like 20 or 30 seconds. I'm listening to this, and then I ask my husband, "Do you hear that?" And as soon as I ask that, we suddenly hit this turbulence. And that's, you know, it was a very smooth night, so it was startling to have this turbulence that's not unheard of, you know, that can definitely happen naturally. But I'm hearing these voices, and then we hit this pretty bad turbulence, nothing that, you know, my husband can't handle. But the plane's bumping around, and I can still hear the voice through this whole thing. And it gets a little bit louder, and I can start making out some words, I think, and what I remember, because I'm pretty spooked at this point. I could hear the word, I heard the word failure. I heard the word God. I heard the two words, I heard love them, almost as if, you know, somebody was maybe saying, I don't know, like, tell my family I love them or something. And then the turbulence stopped as soon as it hit. It went on for about 20 seconds. And as soon as the turbulence stopped, the sound in my headphones stopped completely. It was just quiet. And I asked my husband again, did you hear that? And he said, hear what? And I said, the sound, I could hear somebody on the radio. And he said, I heard a little bit of static, but he didn't hear it. And like I said, I had to turn the volume on my headphones up in order to hear it. And he didn't do that. He was concentrating on flying the plane. And then at this point, all these things can be coincidences. You know, you can get random turbulence all of a sudden on a smooth night. You can hear weird things through your headphones, pick up on weird stuff. But right after that, my husband realized that so this is a night flight, so it's dark, and you have some lights on your instruments on the dash. They're pretty dim to maintain your night vision, but he realized right after this turbulence stopped that the lights on the heading indicator and the VOR had gone out. So the heading indicator is basically like a compass. It tells you what direction you're going in. And VOR is an instrument that we weren't using because we used that during instrument flight, which neither of us are, of course, rated for yet. But it basically uses radio signals from ground stations to act as a beacon to help with navigation and stuff. So both of the navigation instruments in this plane, the lights had gone out on. And it was just kind of weird that both of these things had happened, the voices that I heard, the turbulence, and then that the lights on the two navigation instruments had gone out, presumably during that, because they were on beforehand. And, you know, the more I think about it, I'm thinking maybe if this was something ghostly or supernatural, maybe that some say that they're lost because the instruments that tell us where we're going, the lights went out. I don't know. It's just a weird coincidence. There's so many other instruments that the lights could go out on, but it's the two instruments that tell you where you're going. So, you know, that's pretty much it. I was freaked out for the whole rest of the flight. We kept flying around, and I kept just, you know, holding it together and being like, no, it's, you know, calm now. Like, this is everything fine. Don't freak out. But I just really didn't feel right. For the rest of the time we were out there, I just wanted to be on the ground so bad. I was thinking about my dog that we left at home and just wanting to get back to her and thinking about what would happen if we crashed and she was locked in the house alone. And I, you know, it was just really spooky.
And that's it.
Yes, that sounds quite spooky.
You know, I wonder, it almost sounds like residual energy just playing over and over.
Yeah, is it like a time, I don't know, like a residual energy? I also was kind of getting to like
wrinkle in time
type deal where are they picking up the radio frequency of a distress call?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of what was going through my mind, the way she was describing it, of like, you know, someone who's going down.
Yeah.
Trying to radio in something to somebody and they're picking up this message. But if there's no reported crashes at that point in time, it wasn't obviously a real event that was taking place at that moment.
And I'm sure she, you know, did her research to look that up afterwards.
Sure. But what an experience that would be. And I don't blame her for just wanting to get on the ground. When you have something like that happening, I think you'd be like, okay, we're done. Get out of danger.
That's pretty bad for somebody who likes flying enough to want to learn how to fly themselves.
Sure.
To have an experience like that. I mean, there's plenty of people who don't like to be in an airplane anyway, and mm-hmm. then that would just be the icing on the cake. But she was ready to get down after that.
I wonder how many stories there are of haunted airplanes, like large commercial airliners, with, you know, just because it's such, you know, a nerve-wracking thing for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
And just the energy that's being expelled, not necessarily ghosts or, you know, dead people on a plane, but just the energy that is, you know, it's almost kind of turning it into a giant battery for things that are moving through to come into and manifest. Or just, you know, the living and just, you know, where you would see, you know, essentially doppelganger type things going on.
I know we've had at least one along those lines,
sure.
Story-wise, but I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah. You know, another thing, you know, old airplanes and looking at the, like, the airplane graveyards mm-hmm. that they have for them, that's another very creepy sight to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's two sites that really creep me out. Actually, if we're talking about, you know, large pieces of equipment that were used for travel in everyday life, there's, you know, three things that are very creepy to me anyway. And I get the shivers. I love looking at them, but they give me the shivers. That's the old airplane graveyards for things that were passenger airliners. I don't get so creeped out by the war ones. I don't know why.
Okay.
But more so just everyday airliners
mm-hmm.
That are just sitting there rotting away. I wonder what goes on in those, if there's ever anything people are seeing or hearing things there when there's, you know, nothing to be seen and no one around.
Mm-hmm.
That, old trains, you know, that are sit and parked somewhere, old passenger trains and cars that are just sitting around. That creeps me out, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's rare to find, but old ships, because a lot of them go to breakers and, you know. But every once in a while, you find one that's docked somewhere and rotting away.
Uh-huh.
Like in Pennsylvania, there's the SS United States that is sitting there rotting away. And there's a conservancy that's trying to do something with it. But there's been others over time that have just kind of sat.
Mm-hmm.
And those just creep me out, too. Just the images. I'm fascinated by looking that stuff up. When I'm bored, that's what I Google.
Really?
Yes. Like old, like ocean line, like passenger ocean liners, you know, docked or defunct or, you know, decommissioned.
So that's like your Pinterest.
Kind of, yeah. And every once in a while you find something interesting. It's rare because there's not a whole lot of them. A lot of them just go to the breakers and they're gone.
Okay.
And once you get there, there's not a lot of images really taken of them. But every once in a while you find some interesting ones. You really do. I don't know. It's the whole, this was a majestic, really neat, exciting thing at one point in time, and now here it is rotting away. Like malls, too. That's another interest I have, is defunct malls.
Yeah.
It's because I have so many good memories of being a kid going through the mall, you know, especially at Christmas where they have, like, all the decorations up and everybody's excited and this and that, and then you take a look at the same mall that you visited and have those memories from. And there it is, and there's, like, nothing in it, and there's no people there.
So, like, the more people that either were in this or around it or had mm-hmm. something to do with it,
yeah,
the creepier you find it.
The creepier I find it, especially in the not-so-recent past, mm-hmm. where you can say 20 years ago or, you know, right around there, 20, 30 years ago, things that were just vibrant and amazing and are now just completely defunct are really interesting to me.
Huh.
More things of modern times.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. It's something I'm drawn to. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us.
Hi, this is Donna, and I have a story for you. Okay, I'm totally blind, and normally I use a service dog that I trained myself, but on this particular occasion, it was about 2:30 in the morning. I did not have my dog with me. I had my pet dog, and I was walking him. It was about 10 degrees out. I lived at that time in an apartment complex where there were two sides to the complex that were separated by a field. And in the field, there was a grove of trees. And I did not like these trees for many different reasons, but I didn't walk in those trees. And I used to walk my dog down the field, and I would turn around and walk back to my apartment. And my dad lived on the other side of the complex from me at this particular time. And I walked my German Shepherd down. I came back, went to what I thought was my apartment, and it wasn't my apartment. And I knew this because I put a piece of tape on the door so that I would always know my apartment if I ever didn't have my dog with me. And after about an hour goes by, I'm very disoriented from the cold. It was about 10 degrees outside, extremely disoriented, very lethargic, knowing I'm getting hypothermic. I sit down on these stairs that led up to apartments on the second floor, and I just went, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And this guy says to me, who's on the second story, he said, if I come down there, is your dog going to go crazy? I said, no, he shouldn't. And so he comes down there, and I didn't hear him come down the stairs. He just appeared, and my dog kind of took 6 or 7 steps backward. This big, bad German Shepherd that was not afraid of anything was afraid suddenly. And I asked him where I was, and it turned out I was... the apartment where I thought he lived was next to where my dad lived. And so we went, he said, well, follow my voice and I'll take you back to your apartment. So he did, and I told my dad about it the next day, and my dad said, well, that's really strange. And I said, well, what is? And he said, well, when that man who used to live there, he passed away. He died. He was in a motorcycle accident, and he passed away. And it was weird because the whole time I was following him, there was like a gust of wind. Not a gust of wind, but a steady wind. And during the whole rest of the night, there had been no wind at all. And so anyway, it's just a really weird, really weird story. And I have another one for you, but I'll save that one for another time.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. Always nice when the dead come back to help.
Yeah, I was going to say, for anybody out there that thinks that ghosts are all bad,
yeah,
there's a good one.
And it's one of those many stories that we get, and you have to just kind of shake your head sometimes, because I'll see like comments where it's like, all ghosts are evil, they're all the devil, they're all... A certain percentage, sure, you know, they're not so great, but not all. I mean, certainly not. I mean, just based on that, I mean, where's the malicious intent there?
It's just like people.
It is. There's bad ones, there's good ones, and some are living and some are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about them all here on Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Get all of those bonus episodes, exclusive video material, and more. More than 60-some episodes. It's jam-packed with some excellent ghost stories, some of the best ones we've ever gotten in, and they're exclusively for our EPP. So sign up, check those out, help keep us on the air. And enjoy getting creeped out. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.